Say that again.
Pay attention. Pay attention. No, it's something that's kind of been... You know when you get words in your spirit and it's just like... flashing lights, this is what we're talking about, this is where we're going. And it's like, Kirsty, pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. Over and over again. Like, I've told you before, I am so easily distracted. Like, ooh, shiny thing. It's true. I'll sit down to read a book and a song comes on and singing away to the song and forgetting which page I'm on. Or, you know, any number of things. Sit down to do some work, the phone goes, you start talking on the phone and forget what it was you were doing. Have to go back to it and try and work out where was I at? I'm getting distracted by the distractions. But the Lord's like, pay attention. I spoke a couple of weeks ago about this season of Passover to Pentecost. And I made a couple of declarations right then about it being a season of now words and a season to pay attention to what the Lord is speaking. And really I want to encourage us to be doing that tonight. Just as we were worshipping, I believe I'm to start here. It's John chapter 15. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Jesus. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So I've got a lot of scripture tonight, and it's all around this giving honour to the word, giving glory to the word. Because when the word comes, whoever it comes from, however it comes, we're going to get what we're going to get as much as we pay it honour. So if we respect what we're hearing, we'll see the fruit of that. If we ignore what we're hearing, or we think because so-and-so said it, or because somebody else has said it, or because it hasn't come in a package that I'm used to, and we ignore it, we can't receive from that. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32 says, therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Habakkuk 2, verse 1, it says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Psalm 85, I will hear with expectant hope. what God the Lord will say, for he will speak peace to his people, to his godly ones. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who reverently fear him and obey him with submissive wonder. That glory, the manifest presence of God, may dwell in our land. Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait patiently for the Lord. My soul expectantly waits, and in his word do I hope. I've just grabbed a few different scriptures that I've been kind of pondering on the last few while, you know, just, oh, that's something I need to be aware of. That's something I have to be aware of. And it's all about taking the Lord's word seriously and expecting it to come to pass and waiting until it happens and being faithful to it. Right, we heard this morning about, we've been hearing about obeying the word, haven't we? We've been hearing that we can't put it off, we can't keep procrastinating on what the Lord's telling us to do right now. 1 Timothy, verses 18 to 19. 1 Timothy 1, even. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience with which some have rejected concerning the faith, having suffered with shipwreck. And 2 Timothy, chapter 1, 6 to 7. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And 13 to 14, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. What is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love, in honour giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. And 1 John 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Mm. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. You know, every time the word comes to us, it's always in the context of love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always in the context of fellowship with the other believers. I would mistrust any word that is coming that has been worked out in private and lived out privately. Does that make sense? I can say, I've heard of God, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's all about me. It's all about what he's saying to me. It hasn't got any impact on the fellowship. I would mistrust that. Because everything the Lord has us do is in the context of family. Mm-hmm. It's in the context of one another. In the context of loving one another. And in the context of bringing fruit. And we don't bear fruit by ourselves. We can't be apart from the vine and bear any kind of fruit whatsoever. We might look bushy, we might have lots and lots of leaves and look like we're the real deal, but in reality, there's not a grape on it, there's no fruit, because we need one another. I don't know if we've been aware or if we're aware enough that the Lord has been speaking so many great things in our services in the last wee while. I mean, have we been aware? You'll see me a lot of the time. I write things down. I'm like, scribble, 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 scribble. And then I'll promptly forget that I've written anything until I go back to it several months later and read it. But the emphasis at the moment is to take these words and to run with them. To take these words to heart, to make them our meditation, to make them a part of our lives. Because he doesn't speak for no reason. He doesn't speak into our community for no reason. He's not just giving us wee little pick-me-ups here and there. You know, oh guys, you're doing great. That's brilliant. That's wonderful. But he wants us to move from glory to glory. He wants us to move on and go forward. We've been hearing that we're to recognise when we've levelled up, when we've come into a new level, and we're in that season. We're in that time that it's almost like the Lord grabs you by the braces or something. It's like, up! And suddenly everything's shifting. Everything feels a bit unsteady. But in reality, he's pulling you up to the next level. And it doesn't feel comfortable. It doesn't feel secure. But he's still got us. He's still got us and holding us together. And it's in times like this, I don't know if anybody else has experienced the amount of pressure in the last few weeks. The thing is, I shouldn't be surprised that other people have been experiencing pressure in the last few weeks. Because we're going through all this stuff together.
Yes, that's right.
And the moment our enemy can pull us out and think that we're separate, it's the moment he's got us backed into a corner. And we can roar as much as we like, but the pack isn't behind us. Do you know, we've got this proclamation that it's the year of the righteous roar. You know, a lion roaring, it can be roaring for 100 reasons, okay? He could be roaring because he's in pain. He could be roaring because he's alone and he's looking for the rest of the pack. But when he's roaring for help, when he's roaring for backup, there's a pride coming behind him. There's the rest of the body coming to join in the fray.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, one lion's pretty scary. A pride of lions is pretty terrifying, especially when they know who they are in Christ. Especially when they know that they have the word from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they know that they've got the whole of heaven's armies backing them up. So we have to have value for what's being said corporately. We're good at listening to the word. We're good at listening, coming under teaching in this kind of environment and sitting and taking on what's being said, precept upon precept, line upon line, little by little, and that's fantastic. Where we need to get more astute is in hearing what he's saying in the prayers we're praying, what he's saying in the scriptures that are being read. When we come together corporately, when one person prophesies, where another has an interpretation, where somebody has a song, where somebody has a psalm, because we're actually designed to work together like that and to build each other up like that.
Amen.
It's not supposed to rest on the person at the front, the teacher, the prophet. It's not supposed to rest on these people to get us into the next level or to pull us into the land. It's supposed to be corporate. So we have to have value for what's being said in those times. But we have to have value for what the Lord is saying to us individually. You know, when he speaks to you in the quiet place, like I say, I write lots of stuff. I've got a phone full of wee notes to myself that have just come on the bus whilst I've been, you know, listening to my music on the way home. It's like, oh, that's really good, write that down. You know, those things aren't for you, for keeping to yourself. What he speaks to you in private, you're supposed to shout from the rooftops.
Mm-hmm.
What he tells you in the secret place is for public.
That's
right. So we need to have value for what the Lord is saying personally to us in order to pass it on. Because if we think, oh, it's a nothing, it's a random thought, it's whatever, then we're not going to pass it on and we're robbing the body of our function.
Mm-hmm.
So the word always comes in the context of love. You know, if a word comes and it's bashing, if a word comes and it's bringing down judgment or it's declaring things that aren't reflective of God's goodness, of his love, then we can reject that. Now that doesn't mean that words of correction are wrong, because we know that the Lord corrects us. But they'll always be in the context of love. And we know in our hearts, we know in our spirits when he's talking a word of correction, because it pierces us. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to be living outside of God's presence. I don't want to be doing anything to hurt my Father. So when somebody confronts you with something that isn't right, it's cutting, and it's meant to be. Who knows that when you were a child and you were told off for something, what was your first reaction? It wasn't, oh no, I've been found out, or hopefully it wasn't, unless it's, you know, maybe when you were a bit older, a bit more blasé. But as a child, when somebody was telling you off, you were cut because you had disappointed somebody. It's the worst kind of telling off you can get, is to know that people are disappointed in you, or the Lord is disappointed in you. Because when we don't act according to our character, we've fallen.
Mm-hmm.
And often the word that comes is, you're acting like mere men.
Mm-hmm.
You're acting like you don't even know me. Buck up, you need to act like the character I've given you. You're acting out of character, basically. The Lord's given us a new identity, a new character, a new way of life, and everything we need to live in that position constantly. So when we slip out of that, we're acting out of character. That's not like you. What are you doing? And you know, when we do have honour for one another, when we do love one another, we can receive those words, we can receive those messages, and not be offended by them. Because we know that that word is coming from the Lord and not from the person.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody ever experienced that kind of context, that kind of word, and it's come from the person you could most like to strangle? Anybody? Because the Lord's testing us.
The Lord wants
us to respond to Him, regardless of the vessel, regardless of the person who's bringing the word.
Mm-hmm.
So the honour we place on what is spoken determines our ability to hear it and to run with it. In Psalm 119, there's lots of scriptures there about loving the word. But one of them stood out to me. It says, "I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure."
Hallelujah.
The word that comes is so precious. Donnie, you read this morning about the two commandments, about loving the Lord with your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and loving your neighbour as yourself. And I've been meditating on... I've been aware that sometimes we respond in the flesh to things that we know in spirit. Does that make sense? Our spirit, our heart, perceives things in the spirit. And our soul goes, "I'm so frustrated, or I'm so angry, or I'm so whatever about this issue." And then our mind is like, trying to reason it all out. It's like, why am I angry? Why am I angry? That person has done that, and it's not right. But actually, we need to take the time to work out what's the spirit picked up on. Does that make sense? Because sometimes when I get frustrated, I get really frustrated with things. And it's not a healthy emotion. But if you trace it back, it's because something's not right in the spirit. Because some person is under a spirit of ... trapped, and that's our spirit groaning to release them. And that's where the being not conformed to the pattern of this world, but being renewed in our minds comes in, because we need the mind of Christ to reason it out according to the word. We need to pay attention to what our emotions are telling us. But we've often said that, we haven't often said, but we get the idea that the soul is bad, don't we? The soul isn't bad.
No.
The soul is influenced. And the soul underneath the spirit is going to react according to the spirit. So our emotions, our heartbreak or groaning or love for people or anything that we feel, we need to trace it back to what the spirit is saying to us. There's several words that are now words for us, and they're things that I know we know and we've heard over and over and over again in this season, but it's to highlight them just now. But we need to pay attention to them, make them our meditation, make them part of our life. But we're moving from passive acceptance to active and aggressive expectancy. What does that look like? What does that look like? Because we can pretend that we're being active and aggressively expecting whatever by getting all gung-ho on the word and shouting amen and turning up week from week and getting excited in this context. But what does it look like in our workplaces? What does it look like in our families? What does it look like in our lives? Because the message doesn't become a ministry without us grabbing it, holding it and running with it. And there's the message that there's no us and them, there's only us. what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
And what does that look like, not just in this room or in the church, but what does that look like for the church and the world? Because, you know, Jesus died for everybody. Jesus already purchased people. Jesus has already made them sons and daughters. There's no us and them. Everything in the covenant is available to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem is people can't receive that, don't want to receive that, haven't heard that they can receive that.
Mm-hmm.
What does it look like when we start to make this our meditation, when we start to make this a life message, something that we live out daily? I spoke as well that I believe this is a time for release of strategy for us as a church.
Mm-hmm.
And who's pursuing that strategy? Because I tell you, it isn't just for Pastor Donnie, it isn't just for Katrina, it's not just for the leadership team, it's for a church. Remember back in the Old Testament, in I think it's 2 Chronicles 20, where the whole of the town, the whole of the city, the whole of Jerusalem comes together to wait on the Lord for the word and the strategy. And it doesn't come through a prophet, it doesn't come through the king, it doesn't come from anybody, you know, who ought to get that kind of revelation. It comes from a person who just happens, who is there, who is in the the crowd. And it's God's word for the time. We need to give value to his word. I haven't got very much else to say tonight, but I want to read one thing that I wrote maybe a few weeks ago that is exactly that. It's one of these now words. It's one of these words that he's speaking in the secret place to pass on. And I believe people in this room are sitting on the same kind of words. So what I want us to do tonight is release them. So once I've read this, I'm going to leave it open for whomever has a word to come forward. And, you know, if it goes on 10 minutes or whatever and nobody's got anything, that's fine, we'll call it quits. No pressure, no obligations. But if you do have it burning, thank you so much, Cheryl, for what you shared tonight. It was just excellent. I'll say this as well. You know, how many times do we come to a church service and I've heard people going, oh, that's exactly what the Lord was showing me on Thursday. And that's exactly what the Lord was showing me in our house group, in our house meeting, or prayer meeting, or, you know, this is what, because he's talking to all of us corporately.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we're aware of that, the more unity we'll find. You know, we read this morning in Ephesians that we're all coming to a unity of the faith and a unity of the spirit. That means sharing. So I've been sitting on this one for a wee while because I think it pertains to women in general in the church. I've just called it lionesses. It says, I've decided that any little boxes, nuisances, pesky assignments of the devil are going to get roared at. Anything that tries to lie to us, trip us up, distract, steal, kill or destroy will absolutely be shouted down. Because greater is he living in me than he who is in the world. I have an impression that it's the proper time for us lionesses to rise up with an attitude of no nonsense towards the enemy. I believe the Lord wants to hone in our vision and redeem the look. You know the look. Every woman has the look. A child knows they're doing wrong by the look. Now, the Lord wants to hone in our vision and redeem the look so we have a sharper eye for what the Lord is doing and what is amiss. Our awareness of the spiritual atmosphere and quiet taking of authority, the look, will be enough to see off attacks. And if it comes to raising our voices, the enemy will know he's really in trouble. Do you know that we've got authority without shouting? We've got authority without roaring. We've got authority just because we're walking in the Spirit, just because we're walking with Jesus, just because we're in him. And you know, stuff happens, stuff is going on, and we're like, no, no more of that, no more of that, no nonsense, no, no, no. And if it persists, you know that the enemy is in real trouble when he starts messing with the children of God, when he starts messing with the anointed. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Has him terrified. So when it comes to roaring, it's like the last straw. You know, lionesses, when they're hunting, they don't make a sound. Not a sound. They're stealthy, they're out, they're just getting on with it. A lion will roar for victory. A lion will roar because, you know, to draw people together. But a lioness is going about getting on with it. And, you know, we're kind of the Lord's secret weapon. We're under the cover of the man, we're in right place, but we're there and we're holding. When it gets close to home, that's when a woman comes into her own. It's like, no, not in my household.
Mm-hmm.
And you see so many examples of that in scripture. You see the men go out to war, the enemy comes to the gates, and then there's a woman sticking tent pegs through their heads, throwing millstones on top of them, a whole load of things. But it gets to a woman having to fight, the enemy is in big trouble. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you speak to us corporately. I thank you for the gift of faith you've given each of us. Lord, I thank you for these messages that are burning in our hearts, Lord. I thank you that you've given us so much. Lord, I thank you for the strategy you're releasing, for the words you're releasing to us. Father, I pray that we be more aware of your spirit, be more aware of what you're doing with us and what you're doing through us. Father, I pray that you would hone in our vision so we pinpoint the things that need to be dealt with, Lord, and give us the tools to deal with it. Father, I thank you for this body. I thank you for the way we build each other up and how much we love each other. Father, I pray that you'd increase our expectation for all the great things you're doing for us. Father, I pray that you'd increase our expectation to hear more of your words, those words of wisdom, those words of healing, those words of prophecy, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you give us words of knowledge. Father, I pray for an outbreak of the things that are supposed to be normal when the church comes together. Father, I pray that you get all the glory for all the fruit that we are and we will be producing. We love you. Praise you. Amen.
Yeah.